welcome all agents, trainers, Pikmin bloomers, NBA ballers, lightship pilots, 8-ball advertisers, and our beloved explorers and wayfinders. Thank you for choosing the Wayspotters podcast. Welcome everybody to episode 62. I'm Chris, and with me always is Jamal. Hey Jamal, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, not much, man. I have been on my phone all day after my GoHub article dropped, talking to people on Twitter and Facebook and in the Discord, so I've been busy.
Man, that was great article you wrote. Man, I'm great. I read your article, and I was like, yeah. And I keep scrolling down. I'm like, yeah. And then at the very end, you talk about the podcast, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like, this is awesome. What a great article. So you know what? We should probably do a whole episode about that article. What do you think?
That is a great idea.
We should probably do a video, right? What do you think about doing a video of that?
I think it is about time that we branch out into the video again. So I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. But that's not what we're here to talk about. What are we here to talk about today, Chris?
Well, Jamal, we have a couple of special guests with us today. So for those of you who are in the Patreon Discord, you might know who we're talking about, as we've mentioned them a few times. I just sent a few people over to their Discord and onto their game. We would like to welcome Kenneth and Anthony from A-Realm. Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey.
Good, how you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing great, thanks. Good.
Thanks for coming on, we really appreciate it. Jamal and I have both played the game. I think I've played it a little bit more than Jamal, but we're both super excited to talk to you guys today.
Yeah, we're happy to be here. We're excited to connect with more Wayspotters. You know, it's a growing community of people who are taking their game outside of their screen. You know, it's fun.
Yeah, Oh, go ahead, Chris.
That's what we're all about, getting people outside. So
yeah, and I really think like what you guys are doing, and we're going to get into this here in just a little bit, but I think what you guys are doing is so super unique. Being like one of the first to like jump on the Niantic Lightship program and use kind of the density of the Portal network to create your own game. And it's fun to see the spin that you guys are putting on. So do you want to, let's just jump into it with topic number one. Let's just go ahead and we'll stop talking and you start talking. First of all, tell us about your company and how you're connected to Niantic.
Now on the Wayspotters podcast, we give you topic number one.
Yeah, so our company is called Foundry 6, and the game is called A-Realm. And we build augmented reality games. And so, you know, we've been doing this for about 5 years now. And, you know, we know Niantic is essentially the king in the space. So, you know, for a long time, we were actually trying to become part of their network. And then it finally happened about a year and a half ago. We became a managed partner with their team, and so now we get to get some extra access to their developers who can help us build our game. And so now we're talking to their team on a weekly basis. They're developing Lightship. We're trying to provide as much feedback as we can as game developers, and then they're also providing us with a lot of resources in terms of, hey, you know, how can we, you know, help expedite the build of your game? How can we, you know, tap into our communities to you know, give you guys a little bit more exposure? So their team has been really great for our development. A little bit about A-Realm. Our main thing with A-Realm was we saw the magic of Ingress. We saw the magic of Pogo. And we're like, all right, this should be the tip of the iceberg, right? This should be the tip of the iceberg in terms of a new type of gameplay where people are actually going out, walking with their friends, exploring the world. And it's only going to get better with, you know, more computer vision technology, more augmented reality technology, and hopefully with a pair of really cool AR headsets one day. And our whole team was like, look, we like RPGs. You know, it's a gigantic class of games. We love that fantasy world, you know. Niantic doesn't seem to be doing it currently. So we were like, hey, you know, if they're going to provide tools for developers to do it, hey, like, let's do it ourselves. Like, we want to bring in that RPG feel into, the geospatial AR world.
Nice. Nice. That's great. Yeah, I love RPGs. So that's why when I first saw your game come up, one of the guys mentioned it in our Discord. I was like, AR, RPG, I got to look at this. Yeah. And I've been playing it a lot. It's a lot of fun. So you guys have done a really good job, Chris. So far. So talk about the inspiration for the RPG aspect from it. Do you guys get that from like previous RPG games that you guys have played, or is it like a tabletop thing?
Yeah. Well, you know, for me at least personally, Anthony here, for me at least, like this goes back a long time. I played Ultima Online. That was like one of the first online MMOs that came out, like, I don't know, early 90s. It was one of the first kind of games where like hundreds of people could go on a server and play in a fantasy MMO. And I played that game like religiously. It was so, so cool. You know, just being able to like, well, it was really bad graphics too. It was like this 2D, you know, it was really, really crappy, right? Graphically, it was really crappy.
We all remember those graphics.
Like the idea was so amazing. You're like, holy crap, but you know, I can explore this gigantic world, collect all this cool armor, interact with the other players, go on adventures together. You know, and I remember like some of my friends weren't into the battle part. They were just like crafting boats, you know, like that world was so robust. So when we started to see all this like geolocated games come out and then AR starting to get some have some really cool advancements, we were like, man, like what if we were able to bring in that really classic RPG feel into the real world? Like that would be so freaking amazing. And again, the RPG category is just like, for us, it's like it's seemingly really perfect because there's a lot of cool collectibles in RPG games, and you know, like being able to have a really cool sword and all that stuff.
So what does it take to get a game like this from the whiteboard into concept? So like, how big is your team? Like how many people are working in what areas? Like tell the listeners like how this goes from like you and Kenneth thinking about this to like now it's on my phone and I'm walking around with my daughter at the golf course and I'm playing it. Like, how does that work?
It's a really long process. you know, just to give you guys a bit of, you know, origin story into our team, me and another founder, we have five people on our team, five core members. We started playing around with VR initially around 4 or 5 years ago. Then we're like, hey, AR is also a really cool space. And Pokemon Go was like at the height at that point where like everyone was, you know, running around playing Pogo. And then we met Kenneth and a couple more founders at this co-working space. Okay, so now we're all together. We're like, all right, this is really cool. You know, we want to play around, build this new game out. Now, when we actually finally got the idea for Aram, that was about a year ago. And the process is, you know, pretty straightforward. You know, we go, all right, we want to build a game. We want it to have these bits of technology. Okay, we want it to be a mobile game, have geospatial tracking and parts that are AR in it. I'm obviously very inspired by Pogo. And we first whiteboard it. Whiteboards are like really, really poorly drawn. You know, I don't know if there's like game designers or like aspiring game developers listening, but like literally just draw with stick figures. Like that's what we did, right? It was like a stick figure, like, hey, this is your guy. And the map was like a cross, you know, in a box, right? All right, he's on the map. You know, then he's going to walk around and collect this treasure and, you know, and we just draw out how, the player goes from frame to frame in a really, really basic fashion. Then we'll go from what we call low fidelity wireframes to kind of like higher resolution wireframes. And those higher resolution wireframes are when we finally go, okay, what is it actually going to look like? And then we have, our team member, Chris, he's an artist. He starts coming up with what the character might look like, what the map might look like. And we'll start putting out wireframes that look like they actually, you know, are a mobile game. And from there, we have a really talented game developers, John Wong and Max Woon. They will start to code in Unity. So our game is built in Unity. very, very friendly for geospatial games. And again, there's a whole set of tool sets out there, Lightship being one of them. They are also creating their own map, system. We're using a Go Maps, but there's, you know, we might be moving over to the Niantic's map solution that's in beta right now. And, you know, all these tools already kind of exist, and you kind of pull them together and you start building it. And the process is really, really iterative. I mean, Chris and Jamal, you know, Chris has been playing our game a little bit more. Like, we throw it out there. As soon as a player can actually start pressing buttons, we like to throw it out there. It's going to break immediately. But right. it is just, you know, in a sense, one, we like to connect with the community as soon as possible to get feedback in terms of, you know, what might be out there. And two, like, we're so siloed while we're building. Like, we got heads down while we're building. And sometimes we can't see the obvious things, like, hey, there's no button to get out of this screen. Like, some of those things will totally pass us by. So it's great to just, like, connect to the community as soon as possible. And they're like, hey, yeah, there's no button here. And we're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so that's great. So I want to ask you a question on that. I know Chris had another question, but I want to ask this while it's fresh in my mind. If people are familiar with Niantic Games, there's a lot of negativity right now in the community about Niantic Games being broken and Niantic not really, the community's perspective is not really being attentive to fixing the bugs that the community has found. And just from being in your Discord for a day or so, I'm seeing if someone says something, you guys are like right on top of it, trying to fix the bug or at least getting it to the people that it needs to get to. What, as you grow and scale your game, the people that are playing it, how can you let them know that that's going to continue to happen?
Kenneth, maybe Kenneth, you can jump in. Kenneth manages a lot of our Discord activity.
Yeah, sure. I mean, for us, it's really a matter of we're really a big fan of iterative product cycles. And so the biggest incentive for us is just really an improved product. As Anthony alluded to earlier, up until we released our alpha, we were very much very siloed. And as a team, I think when we have conversations internally about, you know, what we should be doing with our product, there's a lot of debates that go back and forth. And one thing that all of our team members kind of agree on, I would say, is that if our users prefer something, then that's kind of the clear answer. And it's actually productive for us because it prevents circular debates that might otherwise occur between us just because of the fact that, you know, we have personal preferences. So I'm not sure if I answered your question directly, but, you know, just in terms of how we kind of approach product, it's very much customer driven. I don't really know of any startup out there that has, you know, failed from talking and listening to customers too much.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think one other thing that game developers probably struggle with is as your game gets going, the users want to play your game in a certain way, and the developer might want you to play the game in a different way. Has that come up yet? I know the game is so new, but have you kind of thought through that as you're getting into, like, you know, the player can get deeper and deeper into the game. They're going to develop their kind of favorite areas in which to play the game, but you want them to go in a different area. Have you kind of thought through that, or has that come up yet?
I'll take a quick stab at this, and then I'll let you speak, Anthony. One of the things we definitely want players to be doing eventually is we want them to be, like, exploring the world more and, like, walking more. So obviously, right now in our game, for people who haven't played it, we have a remote playing mode, which allows you to play the game if you don't have a lot of waypoints near you and points of interest. And that's just to increase the playability of the game. But as you know, we advance in our development, something that's very important for us, I would say that's unique as a studio, is that, you know, internally we have a thought process that, you know, games can be something that can improve people's lives. And along those dimensions, you know, one is, you know, similar to Niantic in terms of physical health. And so we're probably going to push people to walk more, even though technically it doesn't need to happen in certain ways. And then the other thing is we also want to see if we can improve people's relationships and help them, like, you know, potentially make new friends. So one of the problems in, you know, modern society is there's a large group of people that, you know, don't have friends. And for men, I think the number is something along the lines of 1 out of 7 people self-describe themselves as not having friends. And for women, it's a little better. It's like 1 out of 10. Mm. And we think that if we can get people playing in the real world together, similar to, you know, in the old days, I remember making friends, you know, at like arcades and stuff. Arcades are not really something that's prevalent anymore, but we think we can maybe make public spaces an environment that's similar. And to do that, we have to encourage people to kind of congregate in ways that are, you know, through gameplay. But I'll let you speak, Anthony. I think I interrupted you a little bit.
And no problem. Yeah, I'll just add to that. You know, to Jamal's question, like, you know, how is it developing as, I think the question was like, as we develop, players are going to want different things. And how do we kind of cater to, you know, just a wide variety of people? You know, when the game's kind of this small, it's,
I can kind of clarify my question. So if we go to like, we'll go to like Pokemon Go. So Niantic might want people to be out in the world, you know, walking around, interacting with points of interest, but there's a certain segment of people that want to sit at home and do PvP, and they want Niantic to focus all of their development time on PvP, where Niantic might want to go out and broaden the horizons and get people to interact in places that they've never been before. And while they think PvP is important, their core tenet might be, no, get out of your house and walk around. So I didn't know if you guys had identified areas of your game that could get like pigeonholed, where people are like, I only want to focus on this, but your vision might be something else. That, just to kind of clarify my question and bring kind of a similar game into play.
Again, that's kind of already happened inside of our chat. Some people aren't walking at all, because the way the game is currently built, you can actually do a lot of the gameplay at home. And that's one thing that we do want to lean a little into, which is like, is there a hybrid game model that you can do a little more of the gameplay at home, but maybe those collectibles make it more, make the incentive higher for you to actually go walk outside after you've collected all those things. Now, what's going to happen is we're about to have a pretty big update where you can't do that anymore. Right. We're going to make a pretty big update where the walking is going to be a really core part of the gameplay loop. And a lot of the people who are playing the game and enjoying the hack and slash part of it from home, we might lose some of them. But it is part of our, you know, right. You know, the way Jamal said it is correct. Like, it's part of our core tenet that we're trying to integrate the real world and interacting with it in our game. And it has to be part of our core gameplay loop, and it's important to us.
Stay healthy and slay monsters. I love that.
We're working on solutions to kind of accommodate for different types of play styles, because, you know, depending on where you live, you know, it just might be too cold to walk. Like, we have some players in Canada. We're based out of LA, so it's like less of a problem. But one of the mechanics that we have, you know, in terms of like, we understand that mobility isn't as easy, depending on where you live, is one of the core mechanics we have that we're thinking about is allowing people to trade more. And so if you can only play hack and slash, And you can't make it to points of interest to kind of get legendary items, which is kind of a mechanic that Anthony alluded to. What we're trying to see if we can get to make happen is have people trade with people that do like to walk. So maybe it's a situation where, you know, you can't, you either can't or don't want to be moving around. Well, there's an alternative thing you have to do that we also want to encourage, which is kind of socialization in kind of this town area that we recently released last week. And so that's kind of like, okay, like you don't want to walk, you don't have to, but you're going to have to trade with someone that does walk.
That sounds like a really neat and an interesting way to get around the people. Speaking of Canada, I live in Canada. So there are days where it's way too cold and I just don't want to go outside, right? And there's days like that. I was talking to Jamal a couple weeks ago. We got like 2 feet of snow in 12 hours, right? So there's days that I'm not going to go outside like that. But yeah. And then I think that's one of the things that Niantic's really struggled with is promoting their games for people who live in a more rural space where there's not a lot of points of interest, right? And that's kind of a sticking point and something that they really struggle with the community. And I think the trading aspect is a very interesting, unique, and smart way about going about opening the game up to everybody.
One thing that's kind of important.
So I wanted to ask.
Oh, yeah. No, just on that note, one thing that we should point out, one of the inspirations in terms of the way the game's being built right now was to deal with this issue. And the solution actually came from Pokemon Go. When COVID happened and they started to make remote raiding a lot more accessible, you know, that gameplay of like being able to raid with someone at home with people who were raiding in person, that's super cool, you know? And that's something that our game, we really want to kind of lean into, because as we started to talk to more players and we heard these stories of like, hey, like, you know, one of the people that we raided with was sick or they had mobility issues, but they were able to connect both like the real, you know, world, the people who are doing it in real life with the people who are doing it remotely. That we thought was super magical. And so that's something that our game is trying to lean into, is like, is there this augmented reality world where, you know, the people who are playing at home are actually connecting with some people who are, you know, meeting up in person and have that reality kind of, you know, bend and break for some people. That's really cool.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Do you play Pokemon?
Yeah,
do you guys play Pokemon?
My account is like super old, but yeah, I'm not level 50 by any means. I think I'm a level 24 or something like that. No expert.
When we're done here, we'll need to get your friend code so we can send you some gifts to kind of get you up. Do you play Ingress also?
I haven't played Ingress for a long time, but I played it a while ago. But yeah, I'm a little outdated on the Ingress front.
Yeah, I still play Ingress. So given that you guys play Niantic games, it's always good to kind of have what I like to call a snowplow. You know, no pun intended to Chris, but a snowplow in a sense that you're watching somebody else in the same space and they're kind of bumping their head, but they're smoothing the road out for you so you can see their pitfalls. And then you can say, oh, we know not to do that. We know not to touch the third rail. What are some of the things that you're learning about specifically from Niantic, either doing things well or not doing things well, that's helping you in your game development?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, on the good side, we're seeing these things that Pogo is experimenting with. And again, to go back one point, that kind of remote raid thing, even though, you know, a lot of it was in Pogo, that idea came from one of Ingress's product managers, this guy named Brian Rose, really, really cool guy. He's the one that was giving us this inspiration of like, hey, yeah, we're playing around with these ways to have the drone net let people take over these way spots from home. So the drone net is kind of like the precursor to the remote raiding. And, you know, having the privilege to talk to their team, we're learning how they're thinking about it on the cutting edge of what it is to have a geospatial and AR game. Now, on the flip side, since they're such a big company, you know, sometimes they're not able to, you know, break things and move as fast. So we're seeing these things where, you know, again, maybe the remote play they can lean a little more into. And we see that there's an opportunity there where we can expand on that. So that's why we have a lot of these dungeons being a little bit more, a bigger part of our gameplay. There's also other things that, you know, looking at Harry Potter. When they created Harry Potter, we, you know, truth be told, I was really excited about Harry Potter, downloaded it on the first day. And then it kind of was like, this is not what I expected, right? Because if you know, Harry mm-hmm. Potter existed today, we wouldn't be building our game, right? That is an RPG in the fantasy space that is geolocated. But when Harry Potter came out, I was like, I don't want to collect Fantastic Beasts. I want to collect wands, you know, magic, etc., and have like a territory capture game. That's what I thought it was going to be. And so now, while we have this opportunity to kind of dive into that fantasy space, that's what we want to build, you know, like collect armor, collect weapons, fantasy items, magic, and then let people
gotcha.
Kind of battle.
Yeah. Mm, gotcha. I think that brings us to where we want to switch over to topic number two, A-Realm itself. So we've talked kind of around the tents and around the wagons. Like, what is A-Realm? Like, I was so excited about this when you guys initially sent me the email. I'm like, I need to get in there and look at it and look at the, so I'm in there and I'm playing it. But if you're listening to this podcast right now, what is A-Realm and what do you want people to know if they've never played it, they've never seen it, listening to the podcast, this is the first time they've heard of it. Like, tell us what it is and what we yeah. should be doing.
So A-Realm is a, you know, high fantasy RPG game that is geolocated. So it works very much like Pokemon Go and Ingress, but we want our players to do all the things that they love doing in their MMO RPGs, right? So there is obviously weapon collecting. So you're going to walk around your waypoints, collect weapons, but we want to introduce a lot of other stuff too, you know, resource gathering, crafting, etc., and then have a really robust multiplayer gameplay, because that's something that Niantic is starting to lean into, but I think, you know, we're a small company. We can just start throwing in a lot of interactive multiplayer things in there where people can do, you know, more PvP and have that open up our gameplay. And so essentially it's a way for people to start embodying their fantasy MMOs in the real world. Kenneth, I don't know if you want to add anything to that description.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, high level, if someone first meets me and asks, what's A-Realm? The first thing I tell them is it's an MMORPG in augmented reality. It's going to be a mobile gaming experience first. And, you know, God willing, we survive and we grow. The idea is to port this eventually over to AR glasses, where people can re-experience the real world as like a fantasy world. Like, think about, like, for those of you that are kind of like into tabletop RPGs or D&D, like the end vision is kind of like living in a D&D like scenario as you're kind of like walking around the world. And so that's kind of like the end vision is useful just because as we kind of do different things, it helps kind of contextualize why we're doing it. And so like these portals now, you go into it, it's a hack and slash type of gameplay, similar to maybe Diablo. Over time, we're going to look to add more experiences to these portals, similar to where you might have like little mini game experiences that happen in other MMORPGs. And so that's kind of like what we are, what we're looking to do. And you know, in the future, we're also going to be looking for ways to collaborate with other developers in order to maybe have them help us co-create mini game experiences where these portals lead to different types of experiences that are fantasy related. Ranting a little bit, and I'll let you put things back on track.
Believe me, we are no strangers to ranting on this show. There's plenty That's of time right. that one of us have been on soapboxes. So I think that leads kind of into my next question. We're all about building that Lightship map and kind of going out there and finding way spots and putting them on the map. Is there any kind of specifics when it terms to way spots that you guys are looking for, or are you kind of just grabbing everything?
Yeah, currently we're grabbing everything. I mean, if you're in our alpha right now, it's pretty rough. Like we're grabbing way spots as we like need them. So if we get someone who pops up from Austin and we don't have Austin, Texas in it, we'll kind of populate the way spots at that point. So the current roadmap is, one, we need to kind of get way spots everywhere. So there's kind of multiple things happening there. One, we're kind of, using what Niantic has already built. And again, we're talking to their team. They knock on wood. They're working on a product where we can just kind of plug it in and get all their way spots and then start mapping globally. That would help out a lot once that product's ready. But then there's the second part, which is, with the advent of AR technology and head-mounted displays, kind of continuing on what Kenneth was speaking about, we're looking to take this to the next level, which is we want some of the quests in our game to be these adventures where you're actually walking around your city. So we're looking for way spots that might be interesting for those quest purposes. That's where we're going to tap into, way spotters and local communities to go, hey, your city better than we do. You know, are there cool way spots that could connect together in a walkabout quest where if we were to add augmented reality on top of it, it would make this, really, really cool visual experience for the player. We want to start moving into the realm. Yeah.
Do you, A-Realm, have way spots that, because we're all about adding things to the map, like Chris said, do you have preferred things that you would like to see added into the Lightship network, like museums, or are there some things that like they're not in the Lightship database right now that you would want our players? And you've got everybody that listens to the podcast is out nominating 10, 15 things a day, reviewing things. Are there things out there that you want in your game that aren't currently in the database that you want them to go out and get?
Overall, I mean, again, the way spotters are pretty damn good in general. There's a huge amount of way spots. But for our purposes, Jamal, you might've said it, like we're looking for things that, fit that fantasy theme. So if there are items, if there's locations in your city that have that, a little bit more antique-y look or have a little more gothic feel, we're looking to have that stuff in our game so that we can start building out this, mixed reality experience where it feels more high fantasy. But again, I'm sure if this location's probably been scanned already. Yeah.
This goes into a lot of what Chris likes to talk about. And I don't. Pokemon Go and Ingress are kind of built on the S2 cells. And, Chris has got a question coming up about inclusion rules, but when it comes to the Lightship database, if there's something in the cell, it might not show up in Pokemon Go, but it would be perfect for your team to be able to grab that specific waypoint and have it appear in your game. Just because it's not in Pokemon Go doesn't mean it won't be in A-Realm. So the reason I asked that specifically is we can put a challenge out to our listeners that if there's some things across the country and around the world that you want in the game that are not in the game, Chris and I have a big microphone that we boom every week that we can say, hey, Wayspotters, go out and find this to help A-Realm. we'd be willing to do that. But that's kind of what I wanted to know. Is there something out there that you're like, we want this way spot and we want this specific kind of description or this picture because this is going to work great for our game? Let us know and we can challenge our people to go out and find that for you.
Off the top of my head, there's no specifics. But yeah, again, like we're looking for like cool, high fantasy feel locations and statues. Kenneth, I don't know if there's any specific way spots you're thinking of that we could call on their audience to go scan.
Sure, I mean like obviously for the fantasy theme, you know, if there's things that look like maybe. Might be in a fantasy like universe, like a unicorn hypothetically, or like a griffin. But you know, on a more practical level, things that might be interesting and near kind of like hobby stores. By hobby stores, I mean like a place that might be selling like dice for people who play D&D. Or, you know, something that might be catering to like the Warhammer crowd. And the reason why I mentioned proximity is because if we can kind of get people playing our game near these locations and, you know, someone might ask them what they're doing, you know, that's kind of interesting for us because it would really help us, you know, maybe kind of pull along the communities of tangential areas into discovering our product.
I just actually remembered, there's also, as we're building our game, we're trying to create again, this RPG world where, again, part of our lore is that these two realms are starting to mash. One is the Earth realm or actual realm, and then one is the high fantasy realm, and these monsters are kind of coming in and out of portals. And so you're kind of playing this digital version of the real world on your mobile phone, and then going out into the actual world to collect things and interact with that fantasy world. That being said, part of our gameplay is this resource collecting part of it, and so we are actually looking for things that are appropriate. I mean, things that make sense to the actual location. So like, people will collect. You know, wood at the forest, right? And they'll get rocks on their hike, and they might do fishing at the lake. So we are looking at like for geographical things to map on to do these MMO gameplay. So that's kind of like a broader thing that we're looking for as well.
Nice. One of the things. So I have two questions here. One that just popped into my head. So when we go into and we nominate way spots, we have the ability to categorize things like beach or hiking trail. Do you guys have access to that, those categories? Okay, cool. Perfect. Because I think that would be super helpful for you guys for that. And having wood at the forest, that sounds like a really cool idea. One of the questions I had was, do you guys have plans to space out your way spots? Because I know the Lightship maps, there's a lot of stuff that's super clustered together. And I noticed playing your games, some of the dungeons and stuff that you guys have set up on the map are quite beefy. Do you guys have plans to sort of kind of set up some inclusion rules to separate, to make sure that it doesn't look too clustered?
Yeah. So we're in LA and we have some places where they're just way too many. And that's a really hard problem on the development side because we don't know what every city looks like, you know, in terms of the way spot density. So we actually had thought about an idea where, you know, if there were two way spots within a particular radius, we would randomly take off one way spot or something like that. We haven't implemented anything like that just yet. It is on our radar in terms of like making sure that there's no, you know, gigantic clusters of way spots. But it's something that's crossed our table and is kind of a pretty tricky problem to solve on the development standpoint.
Yeah, for sure. So the other day I fought, and I posted it in the Discord, the screenshot. There was a giant building like monster on my map that I went and fought, which was super cool. Are those things tied to waste bots, or do they just kind of wander around the map randomly? I was wondering that.
Those are a waste bot. So we call them the lieutenants. They're tied right into like these larger quests that we're looking to implement. And I think when you click on him, you should still see the waste bot image, of what it is. Because we haven't implemented any spawning mechanisms yet. You know, like in Pogo, the Pokemon spawn, and that actually has nothing to do with the waste bots. We haven't done anything in terms of spawning. We're looking to do spawning to make it a more robust feature. But right now, everything that you see in the game is tied to some waste bot.
I haven't quite gotten there yet. I had another question for you about kind of inclusion rules. And I know you guys are just starting up, but have you kind of thought through the process of... Well, let me start my question this way. I'm a little long-winded, as you guys know. You nominate things through either Ingress or Pogo right now. Those are really the only two ways to get things into Wayfarer so they can get into Lightship, unless you can use the app and then like developers can submit certain things. Have you guys thought through, for example, NBA All Worlds, they are really wanting Wayfarers to go out and find basketball courts, even if they're on a K-12, you know, which is normally not eligible. You talked earlier about hunting and fishing and getting wood. Now, a big pile of wood or a really old tree or something like that right now is not eligible to be included into the map through Wayfarer, but that might be something you want for your game. Have you asked or have you thought about asking Niantic about things that wouldn't normally be eligible in Wayfarer to be eligible for your game, because that would be good for your gameplay?
We haven't gone that far yet. Our strategy currently is that in terms of kind of like, you know, in the broader topic of like, you know, all the rules that they've set out for their waste spot so that they don't have people jumping off cliffs or whatever it might be, we're just essentially piggybacking on all their research so that, you know, we don't have any dangerous situations for our players. And then in terms of like having additional things that could be waste spots, you know, requesting it to Niantic, we haven't asked them that just yet. We haven't crossed that bridge, but it probably will happen shortly. And, you know, first off, we'll probably make use of VPS first. You know, I'm thinking this through right now. Like, you know, if there was like a pile of wood that was not going to move or change, we'd probably make use of VPS first, because we are able to have more leeway with the VPS points right now, where we can submit them on the developer side. Right. And
I've been doing a lot of VPS lately. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of VPS lately. I've got three that are fully VPS, and I've got a couple others that I have to scan at different times of the day, because you know you have to have five different times of the day in order for it to count. So I've got to get out and do a couple at midnight and a couple at like 2 a.m. to count. So that's really interesting. This is really fascinating. I could really talk to you guys all day about this, but I want to be respectful of your time. But if I'm a normal waste spotter and I'm out bumping around nominating waste spots and voting on them through Wayfarer, what's one thing that you would like people who are interested in your video game to think of when they're nominating? Is it just find something that's eligible in the Lightship database and nominate it? Or is there something specific to your game that's going to help you in development moving forward?
Again, right now, Chris kind of brought this up. Like, we're just looking for more waste spots. And again, this is a problem for Pokemon Go and Ingress as well. You know, some of the players coming into our alpha, they don't have waste spots in their area or enough to have a robust gameplay. So really just more right now is better. Obviously, I'm sure where you guys are, you guys have probably blanketed your area, so you guys are good. But, you know, for you know, other waste spotters out there, if they're trying out our alpha and there's not enough in their, you know, area, you know, the more the merrier right now.
And do you guys go in and review? Have you guys passed the Wayfarer test? Have you done any reviews?
I am not a Wayfarer. That is above my pay grade.
We got to get you up to speed so you can kind of see how the sausage is made, because Chris and I review a lot. I'm almost up to 40,000 reviews, so I review a lot. But we got to get you in there so you can kind of see it from the inside, so you can see what people are nominating, how you vote on it, because ultimately that's going to be something you're going to work with. So Chris and I will work on that behind the scenes. We'll get you both in and show you the ways of reviewing.
That'd be really, really cool.
All right. Well, I think what we're going to do right now, Chris, you ready to roll to break? And then when we come back, we're going to do our normal things in the break. And then when we come back, if you guys don't mind, we would love to have you guys go over the waste spot of the week and a couple coals of the week. And we'll explain to you what all that means. And then we want to give you guys, the rest of the time to talk about where people can find A-Realm, how they can find your Discord. I'm in the Discord. Chris is in the Discord. You know, there's a couple other people, Agent Accent from our community, that are in the Discord. But we want to give you guys a chance to kind of put all your socials out there so that when people listen to this, they can go through and click and join the game, because I think it's really good. So let's go ahead and roll to break, and we will see you guys on the other side.
This is David from As the Pokeball Turns, and you're listening to the Waste Spotters Podcast.
This is Hall the Counselor, and you're listening to Wayspotters.
Ugh, get some better jokes already. It's season 2.
I wanted to be a doctor. I just didn't have the patience. Why is Yoda such a good gardener? He's got green thumbs. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? It had great food, but no atmosphere. If Whole Foods is selling sliced apples, is that false advertising? What do you call a cow in an earthquake? A milkshake. I got fired from my job as a taxi driver. Turns out customers don't appreciate it when you go the extra mile. I'm terrified of elevators, so I'm going to take steps to avoid them. What did the horse say after it tripped? Help! I've fallen, and I can't giddy up.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed Jamal's dad jokes this week. I'm going to be recording my own dad jokes for next week's show, so be sure to stay tuned in for that. All right, so we're going to go into Waste Spot of the Week.
Okay.
I picked the most fantasy-inspired Waste Spot that I could find this week. This one comes from a friend of the show, Sarah Amanda. It is a mural of a frog with butterfly wings on a wall.
Yeah, that looks good. Sarah
Amanda's pictures are, it looks fantastic. Sarah Amanda's pictures are always the best. She could teach a master class.
Yeah, Anthony, you want to do me a favor? Do you want to describe to our listeners what they're looking at? We're going to tweet this out on our socials, but do you want to describe to them what they're looking at on the screen?
Yeah. Now, this is a perfect waste spot for A-Realm. They're looking at a beautiful mural on a brick wall of a magical frog with butterfly wings with, sunflowers coming out of its mouth. It's, you know, pure fantasy. It looks super magical. It's a great waste spot.
It really is a great waste spot. So this is in the game now. This is on the Lightship database. Where is this? Avondale Estates, Georgia. So it's somewhere near Atlanta. So if you have A-Realm players in Atlanta, you'll have to have them go find it. Maybe you guys can do something special with it. But this is such a cool way spot. Kenneth, what do you think about this way spot? How do you think this fits in, like, the theme of your game?
I would say, like, one of the things that I like about it, potentially for our game, because we're a fantasy game, is this frog looks like it could be, like, a mystical creature from another world. And in terms of, like, an experience, I think it really does set, like, a good mood. There's also, you know, like little mushrooms floating around, maybe a place for like druids or some encounter, you know, associated with that.
Yeah, there really is a lot going on here. So the description for this says mural painted by Thomas Turner, January, February 2023. This piece was inspired by the giant oak tree thriving near this wall. So if you look, I didn't even really notice that the frog is coming out of the oak tree to begin with. And then there's rocks. And then, like you said, there's mushrooms. And then the little red stars. I mean, it's I can't wait to tweet this out. This has got pure fantasy written all over it. And it looks like there might even be more to it. So I'm kind of like, do I need to go down to Georgia to take a look at this? Because it seems like this might be part of a bigger piece. So it'd be interesting to see what the rest of it looked like. But good pick there, Chris, to find something pure fantasy. That's amazing.
Yeah. Sarah Amanda, 10 stars. Beautiful.
10 stars. 10 stars.
10 stars. All right. Let's go into Coal of the Week.
You want to play the sounder? Let's play the sounder.
Let's play the sounder. I've been working on the Wayfair all the livelong day. I've been working on the Wayfair just to pass the... Uh-oh. Oh, no. Hey, Jamal. I found some coal. All right. Coal number one comes to us from MattyG38. Kenneth, do you want to take a stab at describing what we're looking
sure.
at here?
Sure. I'm kind of trying to zoom in right now. It looks like it's just a rail. yeah, it's a rail with like a very distant small building that's visible.
Yeah, so this is one of the big things that we tell people not to do. This was obviously taken from someone's car, and Jamal can testify. Pictures and wayspots nominated from cars is my pet peeve.
Yes,
it
is.
It's the biggest thing that gets me, and it gets me so mad.
It almost looks like the car was moving when they took the picture, right?
Were on the highway when they took this, yeah. Saw a building, and were like, hey, what the hell? Because it's the title is Car L. Darnell Doctor, and the description is doctor's office. So they took a picture of a building off in the distance on the highway on a road trip. I hope they weren't driving.
Yeah, I hope they weren't driving. This is something that you definitely don't want in your game in A-Realm. That is not something that's helpful at all. So that's what we call coal right there. So that's a perfect example of coal of the week. And for the second coal of the week, this one comes to us from our friend at the Twitter account, Wayfarer Coal, who we need to have this person on the show because they post a lot of really good coal. But
yes,
Anthony, if you click that link down below the picture, that'll bring up a bigger picture for you. Do you want to take a stab at telling the listeners what they're looking at here before we tweet this out on a social?
This person is still in their car, but parked now, and they are looking at like the tree in a parking lot. I can't even tell what the building is. I guess they're trying to get this parking lot little tree to be a way spot. Very undescript.
You don't really know what they're nominating. Are they nominating their dash? Are they nominating the the parking spot? Are they nominating the tree? And the title and description are not very helpful. Do you want to read the in bold there, the title, and then the description underneath there, Anthony? You want to read what that says?
Oh, yeah. Title is okay, and description is road. I don't even know if that's accurate. I think it's parking lot.
It's parking lot. And then the supplemental information is not helpful. It's just a picture of a street, of a road, and I don't even know what it is. And the supporting information says, okay. This is what a lot of the Wayfinders will complain about. If you go into Wayfinder Discords and they talk about there's so much coal clogging up the system, and I've put in my nomination, which is legitimate, and there's all this stuff like this. And so you start to get a little deeper into kind of our world and what we see. If you kind of juxtapose this with what Saramanda did, where it was beautiful, and then you go to this, and this is clearly coal. So it's fun and it's frustrating at the same time to do it. So we'll tweet these out on socials. And yeah. So before we go, Chris, do you want to kind of go into the next part of this?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you guys for coming on. This was great. It was really fun getting to know you guys, learning more about your company and your game. Do you guys have any socials you want to plug? Your website, how to download the game. Just tell the guys everything that you want them to know to, how to get access to you guys.
So across most socials, and that would be, you know, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, whatnot. We are A-Realm RPG. So that's spelled A-R-E-A-L-M RPG. And if you go to A-Realm at any of the socials, you'll be able to find us. If you want to be able to just rapidly play our game and get an invite, the best place to do that would be to go to arealmrpg.substack.com, substack.com. And after you sign up to our newsletter, our welcome email is going to send you all the instructions you need to try out our game and start playing. The other thing I'll mention is that our Discord, our team members are very active in terms of like reading what's happening there. So if you have any suggestions in terms of feedback, in terms of what you like and don't like, that's the best way to get feedback to us. The quickest, you know, link that's shortened to see us is dsc.gg/arealmrpg. You can also get to our Discord by just going to our website, arealmrpg.com, and clicking join our Discord.
Perfect. So we're gonna link all that stuff in the show notes. So people can go down into the show notes. They can just click the links and they'll be able to find you guys.
We'll also tweet it too, right, Chris? We'll tweet this out with all the information. And then guys, I'm going to let Chris sign off, but I just want to say one more thing. I just want to say thank you guys so much for coming on and reaching out to us. And don't be a stranger. If there's any questions you guys have about the Portal Network, you know, we'll be able to give you kind of a perspective that maybe Niantic can't, because they're looking at it from one side of the glass and we're looking at it from the other side of the glass. And again, I want you guys to take us up on that. Chris has a great idea about setting up a contest for our Wayspotters to send in the best nomination of something that's in the fantasy realm, and we'll give a prize away. I really, really love what you guys are doing, and I want to make sure that we can do everything at the podcast to support you and partner with you. And hopefully a year from now, your game is like super big and everybody's playing it. And we can say we knew you guys when you were just getting started. So that's kind of our goal. But Chris, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah. No, we
got in on the ground floor. And,
no, but thank you. Thank you guys for having us. We really appreciate it. You know, we're a super small company, so being able to talk to your audience and other Wayspotters is super, super helpful for us right now. You know, it's the strong, hardcore communities that are going to help a small company like ours get off the ground. So we really appreciate it.
No problem. And we'll definitely have you back on in a year when you guys are huge.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of Wayspotters. If you enjoy what you hear, there are a few ways you can show us some love. First, follow us on Twitter @Wayspotters and on Instagram @Wayspotters Podcast. We're incredibly responsive. One of us will answer your DM or get back to you super quick. You can also rate us on the podcast service that you are currently listening to, such as Spotify, Anchor FM, Apple, Google, iHeartMedia, and others. If you ask me, 5 stars, always the best stars, and it really helps out the show. Second, visit our website, www.wayspotters.com. From there, you can get the links to everywhere you can download the show. You can also send us a message directly from the website or email us, wayspotters@pokemonprofessor.com. Third, you can leave a voicemail on our hotline, 704-426-3710. You never know, your voicemail may appear on an upcoming episode of the show, and I promise Jamal will not answer the phone. Or you can tweet us a voice message. Finally, if you're not a member of the Pokemon Professor Network Patreon, you can join for as little as $1 US a month. You will have access to the Discord for the entire family of shows across the Pokemon Professor Network, including Wayspotters, Special Conditions, Gotta Watch 'Em All, Purified Podcast, and Lured Up. It's a fantastic place filled with fantastic people, and it is very active. With that, we look forward to you listening to us again next week. Thank you for listening to the Wayspotters, and remember, it's not that far to get out of your car. We'll be right back.